Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is our text. Since today is All Saints' Day, it's fitting to ask, what makes a person a saint? What is at the core of being a saint, a holy person? What do all the saints have in common? That great multitude whom St. John sees standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And perhaps also to make it a bit personal to us, how do we become saints? If that's at all possible for us, and it's not already too late. To be a saint is to be a beggar before God. And to be a beggar before God is to be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. I'll say that again. To be a saint is to be a beggar before God. And to be a beggar before God is to be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the beggars, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But I doubt very much that we picture beggars when we think of the saints. What image comes to your mind when you think of saints? We may picture saints as we see them in icons and religious artwork with those halos around their heads called nimbuses. You can pick them out because of the aura around them, because of the glow you see in those pictures. Or maybe we think of the saints as those who were persecuted and martyred for being Christians. St. John the Baptist with his head on a platter, St. Stephen stoned to death, St. Simon sawn in two, Saints Felicity and Perpetua who were fed to the lions, St. Lawrence who was roasted like a pig on a spit, or those Christians who just this week were stabbed to death in France and the Orthodox priest there who was shot. The martyrs are worth remembering. Maybe we call to mind great Christians of the past who were known for their bold and faithful teaching and confessing of the faith, like St. Irenaeus, or St. Athanasius, or St. Augustine, or Martin Luther, or C.F.W. Walther. It's good for us to know who these people are and to know what they taught. Or maybe when we think of saints, we're reminded of Christians whose lives were marked by virtue and sacrifice in service to their neighbors. The one that pops into my mind first here is a woman by the name of Corrie ten Boom. She was a Christian who lived in the Netherlands during the Second World War. She and her family hid Jews during the Holocaust. She herself spent time in a concentration camp, and she survived and later forgave her captors. Or maybe you think of Mother Teresa with her dedicated care for those who were poor and of the lowest castes in India. Or maybe it's William Wilberforce, a man in England whose Christian faith motivated him to lead the charge ending the slave trade in England. Such acts of love are worthy of emulation. And of course, it's not wrong to have these pictures in our minds of the saints. In fact, it's a very good thing. We can thank God and praise Him for all of these saints and for so many others. We can also follow the example of the saints in our various callings. Husbands, you would do well to follow the example of Saint Joseph, the guardian of our Lord. Mothers and grandmothers can look to Eunice and Lois as examples. They passed on the faith to Timothy, the son and grandson. We can model our friendships after Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. And there are so many other saints down through the centuries. There are teachers and laborers and leaders and widows and artists and musicians and on and on. May we be bold to follow in their footsteps, doing good, proclaiming truth, and creating beauty. And yet, that's not what makes them saints. When St. John sees the saints in Revelation chapter 7, he sees a great multitude that no one could number and whom no one could name. A multitude whose names are known to God, but not to us. A multitude whose stories you and I don't remember, but God does. People who were farmers and fathers and wives and factory workers and pastors and business owners and citizens and youth. When Revelation shows us the saints, it's not just a picture of the who's who of saints, not just a list of those who are notable and noteworthy, but it's the mass of Christians of all ages, of all places, even this time and this place. And you know what would happen if you were to ask one of the saints, especially and including even one of the famous ones, what makes them saints? Do you know what they would do? They wouldn't point to themselves at all. They wouldn't show off a halo around their heads. They wouldn't draw attention to what they've done or how they've lived or died. If you were to ask one of the saints what makes them a saint, you'd get this response. Who? Me? A saint? You've got to be kidding. I'm not worthy of being a saint. Why? I'm just a beggar. That's what they would say. I'm not a saint. I'm a beggar. What are the saints? They are beggars all. It's not their glory that's remarkable, but their poverty. In Revelation, the saints are clothed in white robes and they carry palm branches in their hands and they cry out and sing the very same thing you do, which is not about you at all, but about Christ. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So to be a saint is to be a beggar before God, which is a sort of interesting thing, because I would imagine that all of us gathered here would aspire to be saints. That would be a wonderful thing. We would love for that to be us, but I suspect that few of us would aspire to be beggars. Who wants to be poor in spirit? We would much rather be something. We would much rather be someone. We would like to have the kingdom of heaven, but we would prefer to have the kingdom of heaven because we've earned our place there, not because God has pity on us. But the Christian church isn't made up of the high and the mighty and the worthy. Just consider the first Christians. They were poor. They were humble. Saint Mary, the mother of God, was but a lowly maiden. The widow of Nain was a woman left alone in the world. The Canaanite woman was happy to be counted and treated as a dog. And blind Bartimaeus, there's a real beggar for you, standing by the side of the road, crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." There were tax collectors, and there were prostitutes, and there were drunks, and there were lepers, and there were children, and there were fishermen. Jesus went to the highways and byways, and he gathered the dregs of society to himself. He gathered beggars around himself. You may know the poem that's inscribed on the Statue of Liberty. I think that it's far more fitting as a description of our Lord. Standing in the New York Harbor, it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore." That's what Jesus says. And they came to him. And in the first centuries of the church, Christianity was criticized not for being a religion of the powerful, but for being a religion of women and children and slaves, a religion of the powerless, of beggars. Now, there are different kinds of beggars, and I want to be clear what I mean. There's a beggar who makes all kinds of promises about what he or she will do. I mean the kind of beggar who says, I'll work for it. Give me something to do. I'll dig ditches. I'll clean toilets. I'll rake leaves. Whatever it is, I'll do anything. I'll pay it off. But that's not really begging, is it? It's more like an attempt to cut a deal, more like an attempt to make a bargain, not to beg, but to earn what they receive. And to be honest, when I meet that kind of beggar, I really don't trust him. I trust the beggar who simply says, I've got nothing. I can't do anything. I can't give anything. I can't pay anything. I'm unworthy and undeserving, but I beg you because I'm in need. Now there's an honest man. There's a woman who knows herself. Before God, the saints are that kind of beggar. Before God, we are that kind of beggar. To call ourselves beggars before God isn't a statement about God. It's a statement about us. We're not saying that we need to beg God to get his attention. Not at all. We don't need to beg him. He's not waiting for us to get down on our knees before he responds. But we most certainly are beggars. To be a saint is to come before God with this confession. I'm a poor, pitiful, miserable sinner. I've got nothing to give you, no way to repay you. I deserve nothing except your wrath and your condemnation. To put it simply, I'm a beggar, and I know it. And even Martin Luther, for whom our church is named, is an example of this. And as much as we thank God for Martin Luther as a teacher and reformer and doctor of the Christian faith, perhaps the most important thing are the last words that he wrote. Found on a scrap of paper in his pocket after he died was a little note with these words, "We are beggars. This is true. We are all beggars. There's nothing else we can be. All our righteousness and all the personal righteousness of the saints, all of it is like filthy rags. To be a saint is to be a beggar before God. But to be a beggar before God is to be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. You see, God puts his gifts into empty hands. He fills the sack of the one who confesses that he has nothing. Jesus Christ came to deliver the kingdom to beggars. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And notice the focus isn't on what the poor in spirit do, but is on what the poor in spirit receive. They're given the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus hunts out, he's looking for the beggars to give to them the kingdom, because Jesus is the great giver. The great giver of the kingdom. By nature, that's not how we would work. We look down on and we dishonor the poor man, but not Jesus. Listen, my beloved brothers, St. James writes, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? Jesus not only loves the poor in spirit, but he himself became poor in spirit. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. What are the saints but the poor who are made rich in Christ? What are the saints but those whose empty hands have been filled with Christ's gifts? What are the saints but poor, pitiful sinners whose sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and by his blood? What are the saints but harassed and helpless sheep whom Jesus shepherds through the valley of the shadow of death and into his green pastures? The reason the world does not know us, St. John says, is because the world did not know him. The world looked down at the poor, humiliated, crucified Jesus, even as it looks down on the poor in spirit still. But Jesus looks down from the cross with mercy and compassion on all beggars. You see, what makes the poor in spirit blessed isn't their poverty, but the riches of Christ. The multitude pictured in Revelation, who are they? These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the saints, the blessed poor in spirit, the persecuted and martyred, the beggars who deserve nothing but in Christ have everything. They are the one holy communion of beggars, all covered by the blood of the Lamb. But what strange beggars they are. Just consider what St. John sees. Beggars who are clothed in glorious white robes. Beggars who are holding palm branches of victory in their hands. Beggars who are singing a new song of triumph. Beggars who are protected from hunger and thirst, from sorrow and sadness, from sun and heat. Beggars taken up into the kingdom of heaven, and no longer beggars, but sons. See what kind of love the Father has given to us beggars, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet appeared. They serve God day and night, no longer as beggars, but as sons and daughters of the kingdom. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here we live before God as beggars, but there we will serve Him as sons. Here we find ourselves empty, but there we will be filled with good things. Here we struggle to survive, but there we will inherit the kingdom prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Here we sorrow and mourn, but there every tear will be wiped away. And yes, even though here we die as beggars, yet we shall live with Jesus and we shall be raised with Jesus to eternal life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of everything He's done. All because of Jesus. So what are saints? Blessed beggars, one and all. Blessed beggars to whom Jesus gives the kingdom of heaven. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.